Hello and welcome to episode 149 of Speak Beastie for April 17th, 2022. I'm Amy.
I'm Anne.
And I'm Shannon.
And welcome to our special guest, our very wonderful and amazing graphic designer, Carolyn. Hi, Carolyn.
Yay,
Hi,
Carolyn.
Everybody. Carolyn here.
Your on-air debut.
Oh, we love it.
What a debut, too.
Right? Well, this is a heck of an episode.
This is a little terrifying.
You'll kill it.
Oh, thank you.
At least we have, like, something to talk about this time.
Right? We're not just like, hey, what do you think about Newt's shoes?
That's true. For an episode to be on, this is a pretty good episode to be on.
I mean, we can definitely talk about Newt's shoes, but, you know, there's other things,
too.
They do
have some nice close-ups of his boots.
Mm-hmm. There are, right? Mm. Okay, anyway.
Let me just rewrite the main discussion.
Newt's boots.
Newt's boots.
Newt's boots. The episode name. Newt's
boots. Yeah, that's so good.
Thank you. I love it when people do that for me. It makes it so much easier.
Newt's boots.
It's going to be the next sticker for Patreon.
Oh, I love that.
Newt's boots.
I'm on it.
Oh, Carolyn, tell us a little bit about your Potter self. Like, what's your wand? What's your Patronus? Your Hogwarts house? Your Ilvermorny house?
Okay, let's see. So, Patronus is, according to Pottermore, a tortoiseshell cat. Which I had no clue what that meant until I went and Googled it and found out that it's just a calico cat, which I always thought were adorable, so I'm cool. Yeah. my Hogwarts house is Slytherin. I'm evil, guys. I'm absolutely evil. Or at least according to the Harry Potter books. my Ilvermorny house is Horned Serpent, so I guess that's the Ravenclaw in me.
Oh, you're an evil nerd. That's fine.
I'm an evil nerd. And of course, if I wasn't already clearly evil because I'm Slytherin, my wand is Hawthorn and Unicorn Hair, which is Draco's wand.
Oh. Nice.
So, nice. Final nail in the coffin.
If it makes you feel any better, I'm also a Slytherin, and I have the same wand wood as Lucius Malfoy and the same wand flexibility as Bellatrix Lestrange.
So. I am also a Hawthorne unicorn hair, so, you know.
Oh, there you
and
go.
I'm a
so you're right there.
So.
It was really hard for me. I had, like, when I went to the park, I had, like, things to buy in my head. Mm-hmm. And the extras, I really wanted to buy Draco's wand because it matches mine. And I was just like, I really can't. I had to buy, like, a bunch of other stuff for other people, and I was like,
No!
So I couldn't get the wand, but I was like, but I ended up with so much Slytherin swag that it's just insane. I'm driving my family crazy. But yeah, so that's my fandom ID, pretty much.
Nice.
Excellent. This episode is sponsored by our Speak Beastie Patreon supporter, Allie P. Thank you so much for your support. We literally could not do this without you.
Thanks, Allie.
Yay!
All right, I will continue my trend of talking too much by leading right into the Phoenix Register.
Heck yes.
And now a message from our sponsors.
Hey you! Yes you! The magical cats and dolls waving your wands like bean shooters in a caper. Looking to be on the up and up about Newt Scamander, famous zoologist and world traveler? No need for gossip at the juice joint, just tune your ears to Speak Beastie. And now for as little as one dragon dollar a month, you can make Speak Beastie the Neasles Meow. Support the show at patreon.com and suddenly you're the big cheese, the real McCoy, with exclusive access to swell sneak peeks, bloopers, and behind-the-scenes features. But wait, there's more. Sponsors can also beat their gums at the joint with access to the Speak Beastie Common Room on Facebook. Now you're really on the clean sweep, flyboy. Get a wiggle on to patreon.com/speakbeastie to learn more about becoming a sponsor today. It's the Billy Wigs Knees and How.
This is going to be the Anne episode.
I really is. Like, I'm doing this. I'm guiding the main discussion. Y'all are going to be, like, the listeners are going to be like, can she not talk for an episode? And I'll be right there with you. Trust me.
Sorry. Give me some time to warm up and I'll butt in a bunch for you.
Excellent. Good. Love that for you. Okay, so very brief, because we know that you don't care about the news. The movie's out. You want us to hear about the movie. But real brief, there have been a bunch of interviews. If you're in the common room, Marjolaine and Sophie have been compiling them in a thread so you can watch them. The clip that I have been sent at least three times by three different people is Eddie Redmayne doing the crab dance on Fallon.
Oh my God, that was so hilarious.
It's so amazing.
Second piece of news. There was a Fantastic Beasts fan event in, I think, about a dozen cities around in the U.S. and Canada on April 6th. I went. It was cool. We got swag. We got a poster, a noble replica of Dumbledore's wand, although apparently other cities got different wands.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apparently there was, I don't know where it was, but another screening got Newt's wand, which is cool.
Well, I have Newt's wand, so.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was the Elder Wand. Like, I'm thinking about it. But so it's later Dumbledore's Wand, not current Dumbledore's Wand. It's the Elder. It still looks cool, though.
Huh.
And then we also got hats, which is very funny because I don't wear baseball hats and my husband's head is too big for baseball hats. So we just have this hat in our home.
Okay.
But it was good. There was a live stream interview beforehand with a bunch of the cast. I took some pictures and sent them to Marjolaine because William Nadalam was amongst the people. And I was like, look how sharp he looks. Oh, he looks super cute.
Wasn't, the cast was actually at the one in New York City, right?
Yes.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When I heard there was going to be an event beforehand, I thought, oh my God, we're going to have someone here, because that is not completely wild. When I went to a Beauty and the Beast fan event a couple of years ago, held up by D23, and the dude who played the Beast in the movie came.
Not the live action movie, the
original animated movie.
Oh.
No, he was great.
I mean, that's still cool, but I just got very excited about Dan Stevens for a second. Sorry.
But, so, it's not completely out of the question to bring somebody to Chicago. We're a pretty big market, but no dice. Yeah. It was a live stream event in New York, and they didn't ask my question, which was, which character would have the most banging Spotify playlist?
You mean you didn't ask about Dungeons and Dragons?
Not this time. That is, I'm working on it, though. Don't worry. When we have one of the cast members on the show, I'm going to be like, so Poppy, tell me about your barbarian build. Last piece of merch. Or, I'm sorry. Last piece of news. It's about merch. We are having some merch dropping. MuggleNet did a great article about it, which I will link in the show notes. Warner Brothers is releasing collections with Hot Topic, Build-A-Bear, the Sports Sack, and there's also specific Secrets of Dumbledore merch at Universal Orlando and Universal Hollywood. Amongst the pieces in the Hot Topic collection, there is like a Newt's cardigan, which is like a brown cardigan with Newt's monogram thing on the breast and a little picket in the pocket. It's very cute. And as well as like a tie front cardigan with the blood troth printed on it and like an all over pattern. The Sports Sack is releasing a suitcase that's styled after Newt's, made out of nylon. And there's also going to be a Daily Prophet newspaper themed pattern. And then there's one called MAJ. I forget exactly what it's called. And it's based after New York subway tile. So it all looks very cool.
Have you guys seen the Loungefly bag that's the Kowalski Bakery one?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, it's so cute.
Oh, no. Is it in the article? I'm going to look at it now.
I don't think it is.
No, it came out a little bit ago, I think.
It's very cute. I do not need another backpack.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you, though? Don't you, though?
But it's very cute.
I opened the link to the Build-A-Bears and gasped out loud.
No, that is so
at
cute!
This Niffler. He's so round. The bow truckle's kind of funky looking. I did not need a plush bow truckle.
Sorry. It is there's something about his face that's a little bit unsettling.
Yeah. It's got a very big face. The baby.
It does have
though.
A big face.
The baby Nifflers are very cute.
Oh, yeah. They are also
my kids
very
are
round.
Gonna go. My kids are gonna go crazy when they realize that this stuff exists at Build-A-Bear.
Well, hopefully it won't come to any, it'll be online only, so you can just be like, oh, that doesn't exist, yeah. I guess, bye, too bad.
Yeah, it's all just coming soon right now, I don't know.
That's really online. Funny, you think that it only being online would stop my children.
I know.
Children these days.
What with the internet? and their phones.
Oh, and I think you're missing a big piece of news here.
What?
You're missing a big piece of news.
Please, Fanon, tell me all about it so I can not talk for a minute.
The movie came out.
What?
Did it really?
Is that why we're having a podcast?
Oh, I thought we were just here to talk about Nudes Boots.
I thought it comes out in July.
I know, right?
I'm just here for Nudes Boots and the Wyvern.
Speaking of round
Nudes
boys.
Nudes Boots is such a good phrase. Nudes Boots, Nudes Boots. I just love that.
Oh man, if the movie's come out, I need to go see it. Hang on, I'll be back in like 2.5 hours.
Okay, we'll be there. Okay.
We'll wait for you.
Thanks, guys. Well, speaking of, the movie is out. And I actually did see it twice. And... all of us have seen it.
Yes.
So, yeah. By chance, this is dropping on Sunday the 17th. So if you have not seen it yet, which is very likely depending on your COVID nervousness levels or location or anything.
Yes.
Spoiler alerts from here on out. The rest of this episode is going to be one big spoiler. Yeah. So please come back to this episode after you've seen the movie. I promise it will be worth the wait.
We can't contain ourselves anymore. So we have to talk about it.
Sorry, people.
So spoilers start here. All right. So
officially.
The pause was like,
that was very dramatic.
Very dramatic, right?
Just like Queenie throughout this entire movie.
Oh, she was. Oh my God.
Okay. So initial reaction, what did you think when the lights came up in the theater?
I thought that. Wow, that wasn't bad.
I was reminded of watching the Indiana Jones movies.
Ooh.
So the first one, great. Second one, if this is an unpopular opinion with our listeners, I'm sorry in advance. It was a dumpster fire. Third one.
It's about 50-50.
Maybe. I don't know. If you hate me, I'm sorry. Don't at me. But it was a dumpster fire. You get to number three, and it at least redeemed what happened before.
Yeah, I was very satisfied.
Yeah.
I felt good. I was very, very worried. And then I was like, all right. I liked this movie, and I felt good about it.
Yeah. Like, I remember I'd heard that Marjolaine had called it frustrating after she saw it, and I definitely was okay, I see what she means, but it's definitely not as frustrating as Crimes of Grindelwald was.
Well, it wrapped up so much, and I know that's because they're not sure if they're going to be able to make two more.
Yeah.
Which one, I'm really glad that they wrapped stuff up in case they don't make two more.
Right.
But also it was like, it's so rare these days to leave a franchise movie and feel satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
Feel like, okay, like that was
a thing.
One whole movie.
Yeah.
It was not, and that's what the first movie was like. Like it had the Grindelwald, you know, kind of, I mean, he was arrested at the end of the first movie, but it was like, okay, we know he's gonna get out and cause nonsense, but like, that was just a little thing.
But
and
it stood alone. It could be its own
Crimes
thing.
Of Grindelwald
there
was like, this is a middle movie.
Yeah.
And then this movie was like, you know, not stand alone, but enough of its own story that it wrapped up what it needed to wrap up.
True.
And like, if we do continue with 4 and 5, which fingers crossed, I really hope we do, leaves enough that we can, you know, there's still things that you can build on.
And that we can finally do a time jump.
Right?
Yes.
Please and thank you?
Yes.
I was saying, I feel like 4 and 5, if they make them, would be kind of a part 1, part 2. Like, it feels like they would be very tied together.
Kind of like their own thing. Like, we had, like, the first part of it, and then, like, several years, and then here's the next part.
And we don't have any confirmation of the timeline on this one, do we?
We...
How many years it's been?
There's a line that Lolly says.
Yeah, it's been a little over a year since Jacob met Newt.
Yeah. Which means we're probably looking at February of 1928. Like, February or March of 1928.
Because it snows, so...
Yeah.
Because it snows,
Which, so...
Can't do a movie without winter in it.
To give you a just everyone a context, because this is something I didn't really think about until we watched Crimes of Grindelwald in between our two viewings of Secrets of Dumbledore. Crimes of Grindelwald takes place 9 months after Fantastic Beasts. So Fantastic right. Beasts takes place in December mm-hmm. of 1926. Crimes of Grindelwald takes place in September of 1927. So if this takes place in February or March of 1928, we're looking at a 5-month difference between Crimes yeah. of Grindelwald and Secrets of Dumbledore. So just something to keep in mind as we discuss mm-hmm. the rest of the stuff in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But no, initial reaction, I'm very happy. I really liked it. I'm excited to talk about it for like forever because like, we now you have so be. Much to talk about. Yeah. So I wanted to just kind of go over real quick some of the things that we did guess correctly and noticed from trailers and screenshots and the back of those behind the scenes books and all that stuff. We did get the whole... And we've been saying it wrong, apparently. They call
no,
it a chillin'.
They're saying it wrong. There's no way, no language, when it's pronounced chillin'.
I know. I was like...
I'm very what? Confused by that.
Well, first, Grindelwald says it, and I was like, okay, accent. And then they all kept saying chillin', and I was like...
Yeah.
Like, we were looking it up at when we get home, and there are some... I forget exactly what language, but there are some that say, like, chillin'.
Mm.
But okay, there's none so that have, closer. Like, the lun. As
and now
syllable.
I feel silly walking around saying Kieran and like,
right.
My sister's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, that's what it's called.
I wish we had someone who like actually knew how to pronounce this. That'd be great.
So listeners, if you speak Japanese, Chinese, if you are familiar with how it should be pronounced, send us a voice memo, speakbeastie@gmail.com.
Yeah. But I guess I'm going to call it a chillin' because that's what they keep calling it in the movie. But we did get that whole chillin' plot line as soon as we figured out that that's what that little thing was and not a stool. We did
well,
get
who
it.
Knew
we
that we
it
figured
together.
Out that's what it was, but we didn't know it was an animated corpse.
Yeah, we didn't know it was an fairy.
Oh, gross. Yeah, that was disturbing.
That was creepy. But we did figure that out. We were like, all right, there's an election. Yeah. Obviously, Grindelwald wants to get a hold of this thing to prove that he's the leader. So,
right.
Yeah.
We didn't know there would be twins either.
Yeah.
No.
Nope.
Plot
yeah,
twist.
It was one of those good things where it was like, oh, we figured this out, but we didn't figure out everything about it.
Right. We got enough to, like, pat ourselves on the back. Then there was the red tie.
Yeah. My conspiracy theory.
We were real invested in that. I mean.
I felt so vindicated that. When it was handed, when he's like, this is for you, I was like, yes, I knew this tie. Knew this meant something. It doesn't mean anything.
No.
But.
Well, Teddy wanted it really badly.
I don't really understand why it existed. But
I can't. I just called him Teddy. That's wrong.
How dare you?
You're being casual. His full name is Theo Pastries.
Yes.
And his name is Teddy. That's fine.
No. It's just Pastries. I refuse. That's wrong.
Theodore Pastries.
I remember when Dan was on your show, and you guys decided that the name was Pastries. Therefore, I am... I'm
he
done.
Said he would tell He's... Eddie, so...
He probably told Eddie, and then Eddie was like, I'm not a scriptwriter, buddy. What do you expect me to do?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
I'm sure it couldn't have gone anywhere, but as far as I was concerned, he confirmed it. His name's Pastries.
But another thing that we did pick up on was Lally's paper magic, which I'm kind of, like, proud of this.
Ooh, I loved that.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
I don't remember what episode it was, but I do remember saying something about how I noticed, like, there were papers flying around Jacob at the banquet, the same as when he and Lolly were at the mm-hmm. bakery,
uh-huh.
which makes sense, because she was casting both of those spells, so yay!
I feel like someone said something about, like, what if she has book magic, but I don't remember.
Yeah, who said that?
I'm gonna keep going, and I'm gonna look in our... Docs.
Man. I chalked it up to charms. Like
I mean, yeah.
Because charms teacher.
Right.
I thought that was cute when she was sitting at the Hogwarts tables and being like, you know, you kids really need to look into charms a little more. I was like, yeah, that sounds about right. I feel like that's what Flitwick is missing.
Yes. Yeah. Another thing that we were right about, Marjo was correct right away about Jacob's wand being, you know, to just kind of blend in and other people casting the magic. So it looks like he's doing it.
The newspaper article afterwards was like muggle attack.
It didn't even work.
And I was like, in my head, I'm thinking, who's going to believe that if they know he's a muggle? I mean, I know the wand was for blending in, but if they know he's a muggle, why would they think that? I just was like, no, that one threw me for a bit. I think
theoretically, if a muggle has a wand, they can't, like, use it, but it could be dangerous. And not all the people at the banquet knew he was a muggle at first.
That's true. Okay.
Well, that's true. Well, no.
So then it was all figured out afterwards, like, he wasn't.
Right. The wand itself made sense, like him having it to blend in. I'm not knocking that. That part was totally, but like for the newspaper articles afterwards, so that was all, it was like, wait a minute. If you knew he was a muggle, why were any of you worried?
Something that I got was, so when the movie magic thing was released, there was Dumbledore's letter of introduction for Newt to, and for reference, I was sitting on the bus zooming in on my phone trying to transcribe this letter, and the only word I wasn't sure about was Erkstag, and I was right. Nailed it. Okay, so what worked?
It fixed everything.
It did fix a lot.
The continuity was a lot better.
Steve Kloves watched Crimes of Grindelwald and said, I can fix that. And he did.
I actually, like I said, between our two viewings of Secrets of Dumbledore, we watched Crimes of Grindelwald. And after we'd seen it, and then we watched Crimes of Grindelwald, after we were done with the movie, I looked at Chris and I said, oh no, do I like Crimes of Grindelwald now? Because it's kind of like The Vampire Lestat and Queen of the Damned. They're two parts of a whole. They work better when you take them back to back.
Yes, sure, which is exactly what I thought was going to happen with that. I was like, everyone hates it now, but like, we're gonna watch it with the third one and be like, oh, okay. It's like the Two Towers, you know?
Yeah.
It's a take it or leave it on its own, but all together.
Right. It's a piece of the puzzle.
It definitely made things make more sense. Yes. Because I did not watch 3 and then go watch it. We watched the lead up because my kids had not really seen. They saw the first one a long time ago and they were little. And so I was like, if you kids are coming with me to this and I'm not going to sit in the theater alone, you have to watch these because I did not want to be sitting there with my kids both whispering to me the whole time. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Wait, mama, why? Because I was like, I need to be able to pay attention to this, kids. You guys need to know what's going on.
Smart.
That's why I don't have kids.
It's fair.
I don't need to explain movies to my dog.
At least he's a good listener.
It's just the sole reason, just so you don't have to explain movies.
Yeah.
No other reason, you know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about the Dumbledore in the room, and that is Credence Dumbledore. Aurelius Dumbledore, I guess so that smart. Was what he was named.
How?
His name's not Aurelius, because I don't think he was ever named. I think that's bullshit.
Yeah, I don't think he was named.
Okay, when that happened, I was just sitting in the theater dumbfounded, because I was like, that is the most obvious, simple answer to this. How did we never come around to Aberforth? Spent all this time on timelines for Kendra Dumbledore and, like, the Dumbledore father being in prison, and maybe it's the aunt, or maybe it's Ariana's Obscurus.
I kept going back to Ariana's Obscurus. But you know what? Here's what I'm thinking. Aberforth, there's all the stories with the goats. So I think it's just a big bit of a stretch to think that when you get all the stories about the goats... Maybe she was a goat herder.
And when we were leaving the movie theater, and I just turned to my friend Nicole and I go, was the mother a goat?
No!
No!
I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
She tended the goats. That's what it was.
The sound of music, you know, the song of the lonely goat herd, and the lonely goat herd is Aberforth, and the lonely goat herd S is his girlfriend.
You're a lady, Lou.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
No, it actually, like, so as soon as she found out I'd seen the movie, Lizzie texted me like, "What did you think about Aberforth?" And I said, honestly, this is the most elegant way they could have solved it.
Yes.
And it makes the timelines make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it makes, it's about Ezra Miller's age. So it's about Credence's apparent age. He's like 26 in the first movie. It suddenly makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I appreciate that they explained it pretty quickly. Like, it was the scene where Dumbledore's like, "You're Dumbledore, but you're not my brother." And then it was like two scenes later where he's like, "He's your son, Aberforth." This was very like, this was the most honest Dumbledore has ever been, which I appreciate from a movie watching perspective where it's like, "Oh, how did your sister die? I'm going to tell you how she died. I'm not going to be weird about it." She not was an obscurial. Sorry I didn't mention that earlier, by the way.
Even though everyone knew this from movie one.
Yeah, my sister was like, "I forgot that wasn't confirmed."
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was pretty obvious once you see that first Fantastic Beasts.
I'm glad they finally just said it, because we've all been like, obviously.
I do think it is interesting that apparently being an Obscuro kind of runs in the Dumbledore family.
Yeah.
Oh, but here's the... All right, but let's go down a hypothetical tangent. Credence doesn't disappear and end up with psycho anti-witch lady in New York. If Aberforth had known soon enough, or the lady hadn't disappeared and the kid was born, I mean, there really wasn't, it wouldn't have like happened under normal circumstances. Mm-hmm. I think what's really confirmed here is that like Obscurials, if they're in the Dumbledore family, are going to live a heck of a lot longer.
Yeah, but yeah.
Like
that they're very powerful.
They're more Obscurials. Powerful, so they're living longer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
I mean, like, it does. Yeah, really, we don't know how long Ariana would have lived.
That's true.
Yeah, and that's, yeah. Or how, do we know exactly how, I mean, I'm just not totally up on my canon. We don't know exactly how old she was.
She was early teens, I think.
Yeah,
she
was 14.
She was older than, like, what Newt describes in the first movie. Yes. I know that much.
Newt says that the Obscurial he met in Africa, I think, was below 10.
Yeah, right. He said they don't usually live past 12.
Yeah.
And Dumbledore, we know, at that time was 17, 18, because he would have just been out of Hogwarts. And we know that Aberforth was only about a year behind him. We just don't know exactly how much younger Ariana was, but she would have been Hogwarts age.
I think we do. Hang on, let me look. I'm going to look on the HP Wiki because they have everything.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was 14.
Yeah, I feel like it was always, it's like older than I remember, but...
The wiki says circa 1885. So yeah, she would have been about 14.
Yeah.
If the wiki is correct.
That's kind of what I had guessed in my head. So like, and how old could she have lived? She probably could have made it.
Yeah.
They clearly were taking care of her.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it probably also like, I bet if Credence hadn't found wizards, you know, a couple years ago, he would have died earlier.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So who knows,
living
maybe
until age 24, 25 even. Mm-hmm. Very impressive.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, he'll live a little longer living with Aberforth.
Yeah.
Than he would
maybe
have.
Kinda looks like he's on his way out, but you know.
Okay, well but wait a minute.
Sorry,
but
to
there
crush
was that
your
wait a minute,
optimism.
But there was that scene with the Phoenix though. And Newt has tried to separate an Obscurial before. Maybe we'll find out that he figures it out and Credence will come back. Maybe.
Yeah, this felt very much like this is our way of not having Credence in the next movie if we decide to go that
route.
Yeah,
like I feel like if Ezra Miller kind of gets their stuff sorted in between then and now, maybe we will see that. But otherwise it'll be like, Credence died on the way to his home planet.
He didn't make it down
planet?
The stairs.
Yeah, he died on those stairs.
He didn't walk down a thousand stairs.
Bhutan's
why
staircase.
Did they walk down those stairs? That makes me so... That's the biggest plot hole in this movie.
That's the biggest plot hole?
Yeah, I said what I said.
So what else worked?
I liked the pacing. I know that we were going to talk when we talk about what didn't work, the transitions weren't always good. But I never felt like, oh, it's gotten too boring or it's too action-y. Yeah. Whereas with Crimes of Grindelwald, I felt like the pacing was a little all over the place.
I really liked that it wasn't all action. I felt like we did get some of those nice moments with characters.
Mm-hmm. It was a good balance.
Yeah. Which I had been a little worried about them introducing the new character of Lolly.
More new characters.
And I was like, how is that going to work? Are we going to get to know her? But I felt like there was enough downtime that we got to see the characters that I felt like I knew her pretty quickly.
Yeah. For sure.
Well, and you don't need every character's backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we knew enough about Lolly. We didn't need, like, a 15-minute interlude where she talks about her childhood or whatever.
Yeah, and they made her personality very clear in the first scene with her.
Yes.
Yeah, like, when we have that introduction is so strong.
And then it was like, we're going to quickly tell you, like, she and Newt have communicated before. She knows Tina.
Yeah.
So it's like, mm-hmm. she kind of has these established relationships with these people. Other than Jacob, so it's not, like, weird that she's there.
Yeah. I really did love how they introduced her, too. I thought that was great.
It was so, like...
It was
funny.
It was like, oh, wait, what? It was just, like, this up and down of, like, oh, she knows them, huh?
She's telling the other guy, raise your hands! Just raise your hands.
When she was like, okay, Stan, I'll see you on Friday for Befuddly Dudley. Like, the whole... The whole theater was like, what? Did she just say Befuddly Dudley? And then there was like a smattering of confused giggling. Just like that.
That was good.
Killed it.
Just like that. Just confused giggling.
Perfect. Nailed it.
I liked Lolly and Jacob's interactions. Mm-hmm. I started to ship them a bit, gonna be honest. But then it was like, oh no, we're getting Queenie back, so I don't need to do this. But for a minute there, I was like, I don't know, Lolly and Jacob.
They were pretty cute.
Mm-hmm.
I kept thinking Theseus and Jacob. Or, not Jacob.
Theseus and Jacob, too. Like,
might not be bad. Ship them all. No, Theseus and, I kept thinking Theseus and Lolly because of the scene near the end in Bhutan that made more sense when I actually watched it, but I was basing that off the trailer.
Yeah.
Other options, Lolly and Bunty.
Ooh. Okay.
Jacob and his frying pan, you know.
I mean, just like I really Draco think
he did apple. Bring the frying pan with him to the train.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously important to him.
Yes.
And I liked when he set down the frying pan to be like, I'll take that wand. Yeah, forget this. The manticore scene, dancing with the babies. That was so funny. The music was funny in that. That really helped.
I knew I was going to laugh at that because, like, the trailer gets me every time. But I did not expect it to last as long as it did. I was, like, laughing for, like, 10 minutes.
He was just making it up on the spot.
It was so good.
He's like, I don't know, it's never worked before, so...
He's like, it worked in theory.
he did say it was a very controlled setting the last time he tried it.
Yeah. Although, they're not... I know that the movie says they're manticores, but, like, they're not...
I know.
They're missing the people face and the lion body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are not how they're described in the book.
They're like scorpion crabs. They're cool, but they're not manticores.
But, okay, wait a minute. But is that because of Blast-Ended Scroots?
No,
Blast-Ended... ended up looking more that way?
No.
No, I meant, like, the description of Blast-Ended Scroots from... I realize that they're not the same... Mm-hmm. But the Blast-Ended Scroots are explained as a mix of a manticore and something else, right?
Oh, a fire crab, right?
Yeah.
Fire crab, that's what it was. And so my thought was, this doesn't look how it's described as a manticore, but maybe
that's... You're not wrong. Although it is very... This is because the Blast-Ended Scroot at Universal has a rainbow butt.
Ew. Fire crab, maybe?
That might get a touch.
That was what I was thinking of in the moment, though, was that.
Yeah, that's not a bad point.
Yeah. That's why it doesn't look how I would have drawn it if I were basing it out of the...
I think Hagrid was made the Blast-Ended Scroots, but also someone could have done it earlier. So.
Yeah.
Someone could have, but I do think it... Isn't it set... It's somewhere. I don't know if... I don't remember if it's Pottermore or where I remember seeing it, but that they were... A dangerous mix of a manticore and a fire crab that Hagrid created that just sounds Of course Hagrid would think to mix, but all right, that's totally different part of the series. I just meant that that explained why in my head why it didn't look like it should look.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess also just before we get off this, like we don't know how long they've been in Erkstag. It's possible that they've lost some of the more manticore-y features.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been trapped in a lightless cave with only, you know, lightning bugs to guide them for a while.
We also don't really see the grown ones, so maybe they like grow into that and like maybe they grow features their human change. Face
later.
Yeah.
Maybe eating the humans.
That just sounds sounds too much like the dragon in Gringotts to me.
But I don't really feel that bad for this manticore.
No.
As I did for the dragon.
I want to know how long those light bugs really last. Because as soon as those things would go out, like, that was the only thing keeping you alive.
Yep. Yeah.
I guess that's how they stop overcrowding.
Oh, God.
Oh.
It was awful. Okay, moving on.
Anyway.
I really loved Pickett and Teddy. They were so cute. Good.
Yes, that was such a cute scene.
They were adorable. The music was amazing.
Yes.
Oh yeah, if you have Spotify, the soundtrack's been available on Spotify. It's still solid even without the visuals.
And what I really liked, which I feel like a lot of people are going to complain about this, but it worked for me. I like how the music changed to Potter themes when we went back to Potter spaces. I kind of liked that, like, cue.
See, that,
I thought that was kind of cool.
That took me out of it a bit because I know that music.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, there in Bhutan, when all the chaos is happening, I'm pretty sure the music is either the same as or very similar to the music that plays in the first movie, I think it is, when Harry's getting chased by the Rogue Bludger. No, second movie, I'm sorry. No, wait. I'm going to get my Harry Potter license revoked.
That's all right, I already have.
It's the first one, right? Where Harry gets chased by the Rogue Bludger?
No, it's the second one.
That's the second one.
Lockhart takes the bones out of his arm.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, whichever movie it happens in, the music cue, I'm almost sure, is the same or very similar to what we hear when all the chaos is happening in Bhutan. And I agree with you, Shannon. That kind of took me out of it because I was like, "What? Which movie was this in? Was this in Lost for Some?"
But I also realized, like, a regular viewer wouldn't necessarily consciously notice it.
Right.
Right.
It might just trigger some nostalgia for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jacob's theme was very prevalent.
That's a theme I recognize, but I love to recognize it.
Yeah.
Like, because it's such a good theme.
I think it's great. It's my favorite.
It stands out from the rest so much.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's like they have to use it sparingly, but they use it well.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, definitely. I was also really happy that we went back inside Newt's case.
Yeah. Mm. Only for a moment, but...
Not for as long as I would have expected, but...
Yeah.
I really liked him missing his case.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
With my emotional support briefcase. And he's like, Dumbledore, my case. Like, yeah, don't worry about it.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. We got it.
And then, of course, Mads Mikkelsen.
He was incredible.
He was so good.
Love that.
And I'm one of those people, those rare people, who I liked Johnny Depp's performance in Crimes of Grindelwald. I loved the rally scene. But I don't think he could have done what needed to be done in this film.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, Johnny Depp's performance in Crimes of Grindelwald is phenomenal. Like, I'm not going to take that from him. The problem is the appearance is such a pale, weird Johnny Depp weirdo that it's distracting. And that you're right, that wouldn't have worked in this movie.
No.
I don't think he would have had the chemistry with Jude Law.
Oh my God, no.
Exactly.
At least not to this level.
No.
I feel like Mads was the perfect Grindelwald for this moment in the series.
Yes.
Yeah, it felt like, it was very much like, we have chemistry, but you liked me more than I liked you. Mm-hmm. Like, you got all of those feelings from just them being around each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that first scene.
Yeah, like, I watched that on YouTube for the initial concept for episode 148 before everything went sideways and we ended up going with something else completely different. And I just remember thinking, like, my God, like, in this whole scene, you can tell that Dumbledore is just, like, clutching the underside of the table in his attempts not to just crawl over the table and make out with Mads Mikkelsen right now. Mm-hmm. Carolyn, it looks like you had something you liked that you thought really worked.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it, when they went into the Room of Requirement and Jacob sees all the cases and he starts, Dumbledore's explaining it, the three-card Monty explanation of Jacob was just, I was like, this is perfect. Yes. Because they're not going to know what three-card Monty is. They're going to have no idea. And you
It's been a while since we got a good, like, wizards not knowing a muggle thing.
Agreed.
Because we've had so much of Jacob experiencing wizard things.
But... And I think that's what I liked about it, was just the way he kind of was like, wait, you guys don't have that? and
also, like, Dumbledore asking about it.
Yeah, well, you need to explain this more to me.
That was so,
I hope that, Dumbledore comes to visit Jacob and they play three-card Monty.
That was very much a line that, I feel like casual movie viewers wouldn't realize how in character that is for Dumbledore.
Yes.
Who picks up his knitting magazines. Like, Dumbledore's like, I want to know. I was saying to my sister after, I was like, he's going to be like, tell me more about this three-card Monty, and can it be done with a teenage boy?
Flying?
And...
That was, the other thing that I loved about this movie was it was just so Dumbledore.
Yes.
All of the lines were so good. He was so the character, and it was just great.
I don't think he was any less of the character in Crimes of Grindelwald, though. I think you just didn't have enough.
He just didn't have a lot.
Yeah. He didn't get to shine.
To work with.
Yeah. He got to see the more playful side of Dumbledore in this movie.
Like this same scene, the Room of Requirements scene, I loved how he made sure that Jacob didn't get the actual suitcase. Just the little, head shake, not that one.
I love the whole dynamic of that moment, and then that Newt picks up the case that Dumbledore shook his head at, because Newt's like, this one must be mine.
Well, no. But I think that was, to me, that was the red herring in the room, so to speak. I don't know if I just read too many mysteries or what, but, for some reason, I had it in my mind that Bunty was going to have the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember I watched that the second time around, and when you watch the scene, Bunty is standing by the case that she ultimately ends up taking. She's standing by it the whole time, so nobody else goes for it because she's clearly kind of marked, this one is mine.
Mm. Yeah, and I definitely think it's calculated on Dumbledore's part to shake his head at one of the ones that Jacob goes for so that he knows Newt will go for that one so Newt doesn't try to grab the one with the Kieran.
Right. Yeah. And I think that to me was exactly what was coming. It was okay, he shook his head on purpose because he knew that that would make Newt take the... And Newt would have been a target, so it made sense. Yeah.
Well, that's... It was like, well, no matter what, Newt can't just be the one who has it.
Because everyone's going to expect Newt to have it.
That defeats the whole purpose.
It was a great... So. That was also just, a great callback to the first movie, that, this is how this all started. With two cases that look alike.
Two cases getting mixed.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of them having...
wait a minute.
Baked
Bunty, when she was in the shop, getting the cases was hilarious as well.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
She's trying to make up this whole story that she does not need to make up. And she's like, my husband. And the guy's
the dude is like, I do not care.
He was just like, all right, just leave it here. Watching her. No, you can't have it. I just need six of them.
I guess the muggle worthy is permanently broken.
Right?
Yeah, but I would, if this guy's going to
build
wanna
leave it
copies.
There, no matter what. Yeah.
But if he's going to make copies, he's probably going to find that muggle worthy button.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. I wouldn't have left it.
All right, so enough of the positivity. What didn't work?
Tina!
Not enough Tina!
Not enough Tina!
Poor Tina.
The, one scene with her at the end, with her and Newt, was good. I mean, I was saying, this movie would... I'd be totally fine with this movie being the end of the franchise, except for the fact that, not only did Newt and Tina not get together, not kiss, but, there were no scenes of them together in this movie,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially because the first movie was very much like, we're getting to know each other. The second movie right. was, we have this miscommunication, we've been apart, and now we're working that out. So it's like, we deserve a movie where they're just hanging out.
Yeah, where they're just having a wacky adventure together and enjoying each other's company.
Yeah.
Agree.
Yeah.
But, like, weirdly, even though I want more Tina in more movies, is it weird that I also kind of didn't miss her as much as
I thought I would? They did a good job of kind of covering it.
And her picture was, like, reacting to stuff in the scene. So even though she wasn't there in the flesh, it was still like we were seeing how Tina would react to stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, not to be like Bunty replaced Tina at all, but like Bunty kind of played the role in the movie that I assume Tina would have played had Catherine had more availability. But it worked well for Bunty to have a character arc and be able to accept at the end that Newt's never gonna like her.
I feel like as much as I love Tina as a character, because all of the characters were so strong in this movie, I didn't feel the absence as much as I thought I would. And like, I definitely need to see Tina in the next movies if we get them, which I'm just going to say we're going to get them because I want them.
Yeah.
but yeah, I just felt like we had so many good characters in this movie that got their moments to come like front and center that I didn't really feel bothered by it.
I don't think Tina and Bunty are would have been interchangeable.
I mean, not 100%. I guess I just meant more in like Bunty wouldn't have been in it as much, I think, because I think Tina could have done some of the stuff that Bunty
maybe some of it, but I think she would have, I mean, if we hypothetically put her in, I think she would have been with Newt. And I think Bunty would have still done all the things she did. Because the reason why it works in my mind in terms of the plot of the story is that Bunty is the character that nobody else is going to expect to be, you know, making the duplicate cases, why she's making the, and playing the part, you know, and then to be the unassuming one just walking through the crowd that nobody realizes has the case with the actual chillin' in it. So I don't know where I would put her if I'd put her in there, but probably with Newt, but
they made it all tight enough that there's not an easy place to be like, oh well, that's what she would have done. I did like I don't know if you guys noticed this or if I'm just a crazy film person, but there are like two shots of the back of Bunty in the crowds.
I
caught those too, and I thought that was suspicious. But which I didn't know. I wasn't sure it was her or not.
Exactly. It was like, well, that seems like that's going to be someone. And yeah, it was
her. Especially where she pops out in the crowd when she's wearing that. Yeah,
when they're up there, they never show that side of the crowd that she's standing on from the front.
Mm-hmm.
They show it from the back. But
right.
So I was like, that's going to be someone. I don't know why. It took me a while to be like, obviously that's Bunty.
Yeah, I didn't make the connection on Bunty right away either, but at the same time, I'm with you. As soon as I saw that, I was like, that's something. Yeah. I don't know what that is, but it's something.
I mean, I was definitely, first time I noticed it, I was like, Tina! And I was like, okay, I gotta calm down.
I thought the same thing. Like, when that lady comes up, and I was like, oh, it's gonna be Tina! Oh, it's Bunty.
Deus Ex Tina. Speaking of characters who aren't in it a lot, Yusuf Kama was in it quite a bit, but had, like, no lines.
Yeah.
He says, I think, literally nothing after Grindy takes his memories of Lita, which was very weird.
Deeply weird.
There were a lot of characters like that that were really quiet, though.
It felt with Kama, I was like, did he have lines that got cut in editing for time? Like,
maybe?
Because sometimes it just felt like, why wouldn't he respond to that? Also, I mean, we touched on, or maybe we were saying this beforehand, but that it was like, did he really care that much about Lita? I mean, it would be traumatizing to see someone die like that, even if it wasn't your sister that you didn't care about.
Even if it is just your half-sister and you've only met her a couple times, seeing her be, like, brutally murdered in front of you is still gonna be like, oh, that's bad.
Well, and all of the references to Leto were really weird anyway. And, like, I know Anne said this in her review that she wrote for the site, but, like, Theseus wasn't really mourning Leto at all. And it was really weird and awkward.
Yeah, and he seemed kind
this
of like...
5 months.
He seemed kind of low.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe Callum Turner trying to play it without anything in the script, that it was like, I don't know, he didn't seem as energetic as he did at the beginning of the last movie. But yeah, it was like, if this was years later, like I originally thought it was going to be, sure.
My thought on Theseus was he probably is mourning, but typical, or maybe not so typical, I don't know, British stiff upper lip, I've got a job to do.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
So that's kind of what I interpreted that part. But for me, it was with Kama, I was like, they pull his memories out and he just kind of whips them away.
Yeah.
Like, he just wiped away all of her memories. And I don't know if it's written anywhere about how that magic works, but my thought process was always that you're pulling a memory out, but you're not losing the memory. You're just preserving the, like, because, like,
I think that was unclear before now.
Yeah, it's now it's, like, it's pretty obvious. That memory's gone once you pull it out. But because I always thought back to, like, book 6, where you get the altered memory from Slughorn, and then you get the real memory later. And so that always said to me that, like, the memories are still there.
Maybe it depends on intent.
Maybe, when you're pulling them out.
Yeah.
Well, because also that would mean that when Dumbledore is reviewing his memories of his time with Riddle, if he's putting them in the pensive, he has to, like, write down what the memories are so he can then find them in the pensive later.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I kept thinking. It was like, how do you, I mean, if you, and then maybe it does. Maybe it goes to intent. Because in my thought, you know, you still would have that memory. And I just can't wrap my head around him just completely having no memory of his sister anymore.
Yeah.
And close or not, I mean, the woman, Leto would have reminded him of his mother at least. Like, yeah. I feel like there'd still be, even if it's not huge attachment, some sort of attachment. So, or like, the idea, like, of him being sad.
And then it's like, I assume he would still know he had a sister, like, know of her existence, but just can't remember her, or, but I don't know.
I don't know. It's confusing to me.
More
in
questions
that
than answers. Yeah. But, like, in the moment, it was a very, like, oh, this is sad. But obviously, like, he knew that this would happen and this was part of the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope that somebody backed up his memories.
Yeah. I liked that they tried to make you think for a second, like, oh, Kama's betraying them. And it was like, no. I'm like, he's not. This is all the plan. Don't try to make me think it's not. But yeah, it was just especially weird that he didn't talk.
Maybe we could chalk that up to occlumency. Maybe he's a quieter.
Maybe he was just really.
He was really trying to make sure Leto.
I mean, I
couldn't
that.
Be in his. Queenie. I mean,
yeah.
And like, he's either hiding his thoughts from Queenie, or I still think he might have been telling her, "Here's what you need to do," unless you're really on their side.
Well, if he is skilled enough, maybe he was reading her mind.
Ooh.
And could be, like, determine, like, okay, no, she is hesitant enough that I can get her to help me. Or
right.
No, she isn't hesitant enough, or she's in too much danger.
Well,
so I'm just going to hide my thoughts.
On Queenie's scale is, like, not normal, but you could be and learn legilimency regardless.
Exactly.
So, yeah, maybe.
And that seems like something he would have done in his whole vengeance quest. Been like, well, I'm going to learn legilimency now.
Well, he clearly doesn't have to worry about his blood pact, or not the blood pact. His was an
unbreakable
vow.
Yeah. All the time we've spent being like, what happens to the unbreakable vow? We're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's
well, I think I'm going to go with once it was confirmed that the brother was dead, there goes.
Yeah.
The vow just releases itself.
That's I think it's got to be something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think. Something that didn't really work for me was all the mirror writing. Like, why was Credence writing to the Hogshead if he didn't know Aberforth was his dad? And was Aberforth writing back? Because
so
then we get that thing that says, like, forgive me or something on
so
Credence's
here's
mirror.
What I think.
Yeah.
The forgive me came up first.
Right.
So I think Aberforth wrote to Credence. And Credence just was like, okay, this is a Dumbledore writing to me.
But how,
and
but wait a minute, but how did
he write back?
Because you have that scene later where you hear overhear them talking. How does Aberforth know the credence is his? Unless we're thinking from movie two, sometime in between that 5 months, that Dumbledore and...
Yeah, I guess I just assumed Dumbledore figured it out between.
Yeah, because when we hear Dumbledore, Albus talking to Aberforth, I can call him Dumbledore, he's saying, he's your son, you need to come with us. Like, he's not telling him. Newt is learning about it for the first time, and the audience is learning about it for the first time, but this is not Aberforth's first time learning about it.
Yeah.
Like, I just have so many questions. Did he never go look for the son? Did he find out, like, relatively recently once Credence was involved?
Yeah, so it was like Albus says there was a rumor, so I think they didn't know.
Oh, yeah, maybe it wasn't maybe they didn't have enough information. And then with the boat going down.
Yeah, if they knew she was sent away on the boat, or like, oh, if she had a baby, it was sent away on a boat, and then the boat went down, and then Dumbledore hears, oh, these babies were switched on a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you could argue that...
Or even if they knew that much, it might just be that, you know, Aberforth knows she got pregnant, and then he knows he never saw her again.
Yeah.
Right.
But I just want to know, like, how many mirrors did either Credence or Aberforth write in until they found the right one? And how many people walked into their bathroom to find, like, are you my daddy? Or maybe, forgive me. Maybe. And how we're like, oh, this place is haunted. I'm selling it right now.
Maybe it's like daddy? The mirror. Maybe it's like the mirror that Sirius gives Harry.
Yeah, sure.
It's magically connected somehow.
I feel like I feel like it's not the mirror. I feel like Aberforth sent a message to Credence against his better judgment, and then however that magic worked, Credence was able to send a message back to whoever wrote the message. So he didn't necessarily know who it was.
And it's just, it just magically knew to send it there?
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying is like, okay, I'm thinking of a D&D spell that works
oh,
like
yeah,
this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's a D&D, I think it's sending, and it works.
Yeah, it's spell of sending.
Yeah, a character can send a mental message to someone at any distance, and then that someone is able to send a message back without, like, they don't have to do any extra magic or something. It's the original person's magic.
See, I don't play D&D. Yeah.
No matter what, they didn't explain it, so...
I was going to say, my thought process was telegraph. Like, this thing's just popping up on mirrors all across the world.
I mean, that's pretty funny.
As you keep... It's like an old version of telephone, and it's just slowly getting mutated. As it passes from person to person looking for credence.
Yeah, it was a cool, like, device, but...
I'm just so confused by it. Because didn't we also see Aberforth wiping it off the mirror before we saw the Forgive Me?
No, the Forgive Me
No,
was
that was
first.
After. I really yeah, Forgive Me popped before. Up first.
I it have to watch forgive it again. Me,
yeah, and because, then it was...
Aberforth was wiping off Do You Know What It's Like to Be Alone, I think.
Yeah.
Cause see, yeah, Credence, and it pops back up again.
Credence could just be writing Do You Know What It's Like to Be Alone on his mirror and not even know it's going to someone. He's just like that.
He's just journaling.
He gave me some real Kylo Ren energy a couple times.
But he could be. I mean, he might not know it's Dumbledore. You're right. He could just be writing back to like, I have no idea who this is going back to.
Yeah. He assumes it's Albus.
Or he assumes it's Albus. Or he just assumes it's a Dumbledore. Or you know, like.
Because I definitely, when I first saw the Forgive Me, I was like, is that supposed to be from Albus? I think that's what they wanted you to think.
Yeah.
Right.
So for me, weird. The whole plot line of the International Federation of Wizards was completely incomprehensible.
Yeah.
We learn nothing about Tau. We learn nothing about Santos. The Kitan bows to her at the end, so we're supposed to presume she's the best, but like, we know nothing about her.
She's a woman, so.
I want to know how. Know I want to know how they worthy. Took the vote.
Exactly, yeah. There's no mystery about wizarding
democracy. They showed stuff going all over the world, which was cool. But, like, how are they tallying the votes?
Well, so it was unclear to me, too. Like, I was like, wait, did they just decide it's him because the Kieran bowed to him? Or were the Sparks votes? Yeah, I like, guess did, it was votes, but...
Even if the Kitten had bowed to him, but he hadn't gotten enough votes, would it be like, well, that's the Electoral College. I guess that overrides the popular vote.
Yeah.
I read it as the Chilin was like more of like a confirmation or like more information to have about the candidates. Yeah. And then there was still to be a vote. So
yeah,
like,
that's what I think it was supposed to be. It was just... I was confused about it for a moment. And I think the whole election could have been explained better earlier. Mm-hmm. Like, my sister was with me, and she didn't realize it was the International Confederation of Wizards election. Okay. Yeah. She thought it was, like, German minister election at first.
Mm-hmm. Right. That would make sense.
Yeah, and so it was like, okay, I knew because we've talked about it, we figured it out, we've read all this stuff. But yeah, right. I think an average viewer would at least take a while to really understand what this was.
And I think that was my problem with it. Like, I didn't, like, personally really need to know anything about the candidates or any more to it. I just needed, like, that line of, hey, we're having an election for the leader of the International Confederation of Wizards.
Yeah, it's like...
Like, just that one little... line would have
been
good.
When Theseus is looking at the newspaper at the beginning, it's like he and Yusuf needed to exchange more words about it to explain it to us.
Yes. Yeah, like, Theseus says the smart money is on Santos. Why?
Right.
Yeah, and like, I would have appreciated more from Santos and Lu Tao. I know there wasn't really time for it, but considering they had their own character posters, I don't even think Lu Tao had a line of dialogue.
Yeah, I don't think
you
he spoke at all.
Correct.
Not once. But I want to know if Dumbledore had actually wanted, would the Chilin bowing to him before Santos have meant that, like, it doesn't matter who's running for this?
Potentially. Apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I really thought the Chilin was going to bow to Jacob.
Same. I did too. Oh! Oh my God, I did too.
I thought it was going to happen in the Hog's Head.
Me too. And then I was like, oh no, they're saving it for the end, and Dumbledore gives him this thing about has a full heart. Mm-hmm. And then you still could have done, like, okay, he can't be the leader of the wizarding world, Chilin. Like, come on. I did like when the Chilin walks up to Dumbledore and he's like, oh no, 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 no.
No, 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 no. Yeah, we were just kind of like, no, 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 no.
Not yet, not yet, not yet.
Not ever, not ever, not ever. Remember, he doesn't look for power anymore.
Except that he becomes the Supreme Mugwump, apparently, in the book.
Yeah, but that's
not.
Like, that's
later
not.
On. So that's like, not yet, not yet. I do not have the beard yet. Don't have the purple velvet suit yet. Give me a couple more years.
Yeah, but the Supreme Mugwump, is that the same thing?
It's
Why
the
am
same
I feeling
thing.
So? Yeah, it is.
It's very confusing.
Oh, jeez. Okay. I'm going to just shrug and be confused.
My other thing that kind of bugged me was, what the hell was the point of the prophecy from Tycho Didonis?
Right?
There wasn't a point.
Like,
it was to get credence.
We got zero wings and zero water.
It was to get credence to that graveyard so that they could kill Leta.
Who's the great Avenger? Like, what's going on here?
Hold on, let me look at the prophecy again.
I was going to say, I think we need to look at the prophecy.
How many times have we looked at this prophecy?
We looked at the prophecy
God.
So many times.
Oh. I just feel like it just got, like, thrown away, and there's
a son
no point
cruelly
to it.
Banished. Credence.
Credence.
Oh, still. Wait, yeah.
Despair
of the daughter,
Fidani.
Ariana.
Oh, return Great Avenger.
Captain America.
No, Credence with wings from the water. He returned from the water.
Mm, but he didn't go in the water. He was with the other one. Credence is the...
Yeah, but still.
Credence is the son cruelly banished.
The ship was in the water.
The despair
well,
of the daughter... Doesn't
he
necessarily
come from across the water, because he came back from America.
But the daughter still could be either. I mean, it doesn't have to be the whole thing's Dumbledore's family. The despair of the daughter could still be Leta.
Yeah, for sure.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Because she was clearly miserable.
Now I don't know who I can say is avenging.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how this ties in. Dumbledore is avenging because the Blood Pact dies in this movie.
Maybe?
So maybe he is the Avenger.
Or this has nothing to do with
anything.
Fantastic Beasts, and everyone was wrong in the second movie.
It's just Nostradamus.
It turns out that's the basis of the fourth movie.
It's Nostradamus. It's Nostradamus who predicted all this stuff that people try to tie stuff into, and it never really works either.
Okay. What was your biggest gasp moment? Like, what was the moment that made you throw your popcorn on the ground? Like, what?
None of the Aberforth plot twist didn't, like, shock me, because I hadn't quite gotten there in my head, but, like, I was gonna get there eventually if they'd given me more time. But letting Dumbledore
like four more
say,
years, you know.
Yeah. Letting Dumbledore say that he was in love with Grindelwald in the first scene, I was like, whoa.
Yes, agreed.
And then he says it multiple times, and, like, it's still able to be edited out for China. But, like, it wasn't just one moment. Yeah. And they had that whole thing where they're touching each other's chests and the heartbeats.
And you can hear
that. Like, okay,
that
guys.
Scene
do
was
you need
beautiful.
A room?
This movie, very gay. Love
so,
it,
you
love
know,
it.
It's like, it wasn't like, oh my God, this is the best representation ever. But it was very refreshing. And he kept bringing it up so casually. Like Dumbledore has accepted this now. And he's like, I can mention this to my friends. I don't think I deserve to have.
But. It was very natural and very, like, I don't know. It just seemed, like, right and, like, not, like...
They didn't try to play it as a big plot twist.
Right.
They were like, look, if you know anything about this series, you know that this is true. If you don't know anything about this series, then here
now
you go.
You know.
We're telling you. But
yeah, like... I don't know. This is a little, seems a little, but I don't know if y'all saw the Jungle Cruise movie that came out Emily Blunt. There's a scene where The Rock is talking with Emily Blunt's brother, and he says that the reason he's so loyal to his sister is because I'm different. I'm unusual. And in context, it's very clear that he's talking about being gay.
I'm not going to marry a woman. It was like,
I'm a confirmed bachelor. But that felt kind of weird. And you could tell they were being weird and kind of about it because they were going to change it, or that way they could send it over to China and be like, oh, he's an artist or something.
And but, it's that, like, it's the olden times, so we feel like we can't use the word gay, which is fair. Like, there's, you know, a
lot
of
terms
didn't exist yet.
If you look at Jungle Cruise, part of that is the time frame, too.
True. But also it's
Jungle
like,
Cruise.
He wasn't like... I love men.
No, but
like,
but
you know,
realistically,
like, you could have done it better, or you could have made that relevant to the plot and not just like, oh, look, we have representation. I like
but
the
anyway,
Jungle Cruise movie, though.
My point is that is forced. This was not.
Yeah.
But you know what, though? The other thing is, I know this didn't just scream gay representation, but when you think about where Dumbledore and Grindelwald are in their lives at this point, where this movie set versus when they were younger, you're not going to have, like, they're not going to be fawning all over each other anymore because they've had a falling out. So
exactly. The
way they did it, I think, I mean, yes, it could always be better. It could always be better representation. But, like, when you look at the characters and how they've moved on and how their lives have changed since they were teenagers, it actually makes perfect sense, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. In my humble hetero, cannot relate
sense.
to their live, their experience as people.
It's like the problem with the representation is not how it was done in this movie. It's that the only representation in this franchise is... one of them is a Nazi. But it's like, but the way that they are done and their story, it does make sense and was well done in this movie.
And that's, I think, where I come at it from, because it's like, I can't relate to that. There should be more representation.
Well, when Lolly and Bunty get together in the next movie.
Yes. All right, moving on. What was your favorite moment or scene?
I really liked the moments with Albus and Aberforth together, like in the Hogshead. Those are really good scenes.
I liked the wedding. Just all the little wedding bits. I didn't really care that much about Newt and Dumbledore's conversation. I was like, go back to the wedding. They're getting married over there.
I really liked when we, like, the cutscenes in the Hogshead, when we saw, like, Jacob dancing with the Kieran, or Theseus, like, holding the Kieran and kind of swaying with it. Just, like, The little moments. And the quiet moments.
Those Agree. Moments are also very much like, Newt is having an effect on these people.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. they are enjoying these magical creatures. Theseus especially.
Yes. Yeah. Favorite character?
Albert.
Who's, like, you guys wrote, who is Albert?
I'm kidding. It's
no, like, who is that?
Jacob's, like, bakery oh, assistant yeah. guy.
Oh, him. He was a cutie, though.
He was in the first film, too.
Hey, he had more lines than Tao.
Zing.
No, I really loved Lolly. Yeah. She was great.
She was standout.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Lolly was my favorite. Obviously, my husband's. I love them. I'm sorry. Marjolaine also laid claim on Aberforth, so he's our husband. Theseus is still my husband.
I did love getting more Theseus in this and more Theseus in Newt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I very much was like, no one character, like, really stood out for me. It was all very balanced. Everyone's performances were great.
Mm-hmm.
Needed more Tina.
Definitely more Tina.
And then, like, there wasn't a lot of Bunty, but that was the point.
Yeah.
Right.
There was more Bunty than before.
Okay, favorite place?
The train.
The train was pretty cool.
Yeah, I wrote Bhutan, but actually I agree with you. I wish we'd gotten more train. I love a stylish train movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really loved how much we went back to the bakery. I thought that was pretty cool.
Whole Fantastic Beasts movie on a train. Think about it.
Amy, I'm not gonna lie, like, when we cut back to that final scene at the wedding and that drug soda sign that we talked about in the science episode was so prominent, and you said that was your favorite sign in the series, I just started laughing. And Chris looks at me like I'm insane, and I was like, there is too much context for this right now.
Oh boy.
Okay, favorite beast. It looks like we all have the same answer for this.
The Kieran Chilin.
That's
like
so cute, and its little tummy glows.
It's very sad that there are three of this in this movie, and two of them died.
Right? Like the part at the end when the Inferi is kind of stumbling around, and the living one like calls to it, and I think it's Dumbledore says she can't hear you.
I think Newt
says
it.
Oh my god!
I think Newt says it.
Whoever says it, they're so gentle. And they're like, she can't hear you. Maybe somewhere she can hear
and
you, but it's not
really
here.
They really do look like little Bambis.
They do. They're such sweeties.
That was like immediately what I thought. I was like, why is this movie doing to me, like, as an adult, what Bambi did to me as a child? I'm never going to be the same again. I'm scarred for life. The first 10 minutes of this movie and you made me cry. Like, why?
Right?
No, not okay.
Like, you see Queenie standing behind the door and Grindelwald is just sitting there with his suit soaked in blood. And, like, she just looks horrified. And I'm like, same girl, same.
I was joking that that was Queenie's moment of, like, I can deal with killing muggles, but I can't stand for killing animals.
And it's that same community. You can stand for killing muggles?
Oh my gosh. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Did anything, like, any, like, strong reactions, anything make you laugh, make you cry, go WTF?
When Pickett is falling with the wand and he thinks that Teddy / Pastries is going to catch him and then Pastries
just grabs the
cord. Oh my
god, that was so funny.
So good. I mean, we already talked about my crying moment, but the other one for me would have to be the end. With Dumbledore, like, walking away from the celebration and the party.
Aww.
It just made me so sad.
Mm-hmm. And the last shot of the movie that we saw in the trailer, and we couldn't identify as New York.
I liked the scene where Jacob takes the shot of giggle water and just lets out that big old giggle. It's so funny.
Yeah. Anything with giggle water makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Final category. What was your overall rating out of 5 Nifflers?
For me, it's a 3, but like in a good way.
Yeah, okay. I'm the same. Like it's like a B minus movie.
I'm thinking if I give the first movie like a 4 or 4.5, and then the second movie like a 2, a 1.5, then this one's this one's a 3.
You're tough.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, this is like a 4.5 for me.
I gave it a solid 4 because I. Think that there are things that could have been fixed mm-hmm. better.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Don't what worry. I know smokes. You're all out there thinking, but they didn't talk about. We'll talk about it.
We'll get y'all, to you it. Have no idea how much. We have no idea how much time we have until the fourth movie. We are going to have plenty
you know
of time
to
dissect.
Don't
literally
talk
every
about
second
Queenie.
Of the movie.
It's time to talk about Queenie.
We don't talk about Queenie.
Oh, I have so many thoughts about Queenie.
So, our podcast question for this week: what would you rate the movie out of 5 Nifflers? And just generally tell us your thoughts. You can drop us an owl on any of our social media outlets or email us at speakbeastie@gmail.com. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. Spotify has reviews now for podcasts. You guys heard this? It's very exciting.
It is.
Thank you, Carolyn, for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. This has
been
fun.
Do you have anything to plug? Any Twitters or
oh my handles are all of, they're always my name. It's so okay. Carolyn Sagal on pretty much anything
with a Y.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you spell that so that way our listeners can find you if they want to give you a follow?
C A R O L Y N and my last name is Sagal S E H G A L. So it is not spelled how it sounds because why would I be that easy? I think on our website I think I put our link. My social media on the like with on the staff page on the website too.
Oh great!
Your website
yeah,
too.
And then I'll grab the links from there when I do sure. the show notes.
So yeah, so I've got most of them. I don't spend time on all of them, so bear in mind yeah. if you don't see lots of updates.
It's a mood.
I try. And there's always art going up. There's always me working on something. So you know.
Yeah, Carolyn is our graphic designer as well. So if you're a patron. You are going to get her. You're going to start seeing her pins come in, her stickers. We have. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but we have a home item coming.
A home item.
And I met with Carolyn and I, not to dox ourselves, but we live near enough with each other that we could meet up for lunch.
Yes.
I got an early example of this. It is sick. Y'all are gonna love it.
Yeah. So I wanted to try something and. Working on this podcast gave me a perfect template to try it, and so it's for the staff. And there are extras, so maybe if you guys do a giveaway for Patreon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't realize those were for the staff. Okay, never mind. Maybe we can cut that.
Whatever. No, but there will be more like that coming. That is in the works. That was the test. The first one that I did was for staff. There will be some for patrons, too. Course.
But anyway, if you want to get in on that, now's a great time.
And I do coloring pages of all the art that I make for you guys too that go on the Patreon. So definitely good to be a patron if you like coloring pages.
For sure.
And I do.
Yeah. So you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpeakBeastie, on Facebook at facebook.com/SpeakBeastie, on Tumblr at SpeakBeastiePodcast.tumblr.com. And, as Carolyn said, great time to be a Patreon supporter over at patreon.com/speakbeastie. We have all that awesome stuff that Carolyn designs for us that goes out to our patrons. And we also just had a live hangout with our Patreon supporters to talk about the movie right after it came out. And we have a special spoiler chat going on as well. So if you want in on that, go check out our Patreon at patreon.com/speakbeastie.
Yeah, you're missing out on some memes.
Oh yeah, I know, it's great.
And that is all for today. Quite a bit. Newt's boots have done some traveling this afternoon.
Newt's boots are made for walking.
That has to be the name of this episode. It just has to be.
It's got to be.
I'm Amy.
Oh, I'm Anne.
I'm Shannon.
I'm Carolyn. Case closed!